This is Gustav Mahler's Second Symphony, The Resurrection. It's a powerful piece that requires a huge number of performers, and it has impact. It was recently performed by the New York Philharmonic for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And Rhode Island Philharmonic conductor Larry Ratcliffe says it's a symphony about life.
It's a great work to end a season. It's a work of inordinate depth and richness. You can experience any group of emotions imaginable. Even at 90 minutes, it's accessible because it appeals to the human condition so directly.
Ratcliffe has been conducting the Rhode Island Philharmonic for 17 years, and this is the first time he has conducted Mahler's Second with this group. At an afternoon rehearsal at Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence, Ratcliffe commands the orchestra to attention. This symphony was written over the course of about 5 years. Mahler only composed during the summer months. He was conducting the rest of the year. The symphony began as a single piece he called Funeral Rites, which would become the 21-minute first movement. Larry Ratcliffe takes up the story from there.
Then he wrote the second movement, the beautiful Andante and the Scherzo of the third movement. And then he attended a funeral of Hans von Bülow, dear friend, where he heard this resurrection ode being sung. And then he composed the last movement.
The symphony premiered in Berlin in 1895. And like his other earlier work, it was not well received.
His first symphony basically was panned, as was this symphony initially. Half the people thought it was something out of his mind, and the other half of people thought it was something out of this world. And now we've come to realize it's something out of this world.
Why out of this world? Ratcliffe says it's in part because of the technical and emotional demands on the musicians, and in part due to its sheer size. The Resurrection Symphony clocks in at a whopping 90 minutes and calls for full orchestra, two harps, organ, mixed choir, soloists, and an entire brass band that plays off stage. In all, there are about 200 musicians. Why did Mahler need so many musicians? Taking a break from rehearsal, principal French horn player Kevin Owen, who has played this symphony 25 times, has some ideas.
Mahler felt that he simply couldn't get the massive sound that he wanted out of the instrument of the day. Now, if he were writing today, I very much doubt he would have the same numbers that he's using here today, because we play much more powerfully and we have instruments that are capable of that.
In addition to the people on stage, there's a group of musicians who are never seen at all. A full brass band plays backstage. Owen says there's a reason behind the invisible players.
It does give it a certain great distance, as if you are here in the hall with the orchestra, and somewhere else something is happening. And in this case, I think what we want to have is the idea that from afar the resurrection is happening.
There's also the entire choir and soloists, and all of this is expensive. Performing such a large work might seem unwise at a time when orchestras across the country are scaling back and even declaring bankruptcy. But the Rhode Island Philharmonic believes that now is the perfect time. The orchestra is doing well in spite of the economic downturn. Several of their concerts this season have sold out. Randy Rosenbaum, the executive director of the Rhode Island State Council on the Arts, believes this is for a couple of reasons: the Philharmonic's extensive outreach and the state's small size.
There's something about the intimacy of Rhode Island that helps an organization that's committed to the community, like the Philharmonic, succeed. No matter where you live in the state, you have access to its programs, and the work that they're doing through their student performance activities help to connect these kids and hopefully their parents.
But Mahler's Second Symphony might be its own kind of draw, says conductor Larry Ratcliffe.
I think the complete plan of life has to have in it beauty. And there are places where beauty can be found, and people find it in different ways in their lives, so that's for sure. But for certain, it can be found in classical music. And Mahler's Second's not a bad place to start.
John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.